Om Jnana Timurandasya
Jnananjana Shalakaya Taksurumritam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha
Shri Chaitanya
Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam
Vancha Kalpa Thirubhyascha
Kripa Sindhu Vayevascha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah
Sri
Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna Krishna, Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama Rama, Rama, Hare Hare
So, definition of Sishya, which means disciple, is one who takes the mood of his guru. So you'll see that my function here is on time. And organized. And of course, they've been doing it for so many years. This is about the... could even be like the 25th anniversary of this function. It started in India. I initially wasn't in America at this time. So maybe I have one or two people in my room or something like that. And now our community is growing. And it's so nice to see so many newer friends coming, which is the mission of Srila Prabhupada, is to taste Krishna consciousness and then distribute it. And in distributing it, your taste increases. So it's so nice to see so many new people here and new friends. And even a few years ago, I was thinking, I actually said I wasn't going to have it, but I was overruled. So, which is a good sign. I was overruled because at that time, this is hosted mostly by my students in New Jersey. And nice example of families in Krishna consciousness. 3 kids, 4 kids, 5 kids. So for a while, I didn't see anybody. They were taking their kids to soccer games and different functions. So I said, no, maybe. But no, they insisted. And at that particular time, Krishna consciousness wasn't burgeoning like it is now. I think everyone here is so fortunate to kind of come in contact with the Krishna consciousness movement, a kind of almost at a resurgence or the height of its vibrancy, where such facilities are being offered to have deep and positive experiences of Krishna consciousness. So it's so nice to have everyone here. And we've been continuing this function in a very nice way. And when we initially had it also, one reason I kind of kept it up, besides my duty, is at that time when it wasn't so vibrant, this was practically the only function we had, the only time we had to get people together and do something. So it's all Prabhupada's mercy. And we're feeling it today. This is the Vyas Puja. And I learned this in India. I was very fortunate to grow up in Krishna consciousness in India, where the culture of Krishna consciousness so rich and vibrant and so many senior Vaishnavas. And I learned that the Vyas Puja, Vyas, is considered the original guru. Vyas is the editor of the Vedas. The story is there in the Bhagavatam, where he's meditating on how to communicate the truth, how to communicate the truth, how to understand it in such a deep way that you can present it in a different language than you heard it. Recently, and the same message is there. Recently, I was interviewed for a film by one of the people I met at the Bhakti Immersion. And she's a film producer, and she wants to do a film on the intersection of Krishna consciousness and the hardcore. So probably the Jersey thing is from the hardcore. Remember, Yadanath, when you had that comedy show at my Vyas Puja, and you had a quiz show where you gave the answers and people, you gave the answers and people would have to give the question? And you said, devotional markings on the body of a devotee. And someone went, what a tattoos. So, yeah. But they... but there's actually a point here. That I was being interviewed by this one lady that came to the Bhakti Immersion named Stefania, and she's a producer. And she wants to make a film of the when the hardcore and the interspersed with bhakti in the Lower East Side. And I had a very interesting realization at that, you know, that kind of Krishna consciousness comes in vain. Just like when you dig for something, you may not, but when you get it, a lot comes out. So initially, Prabhupada somehow, you know, he hit the vein of the hippies. And then what happens is, somehow or other, people present things in a particular language. So then your movement, the language and the how you do it is for them. But the people change. And you don't really change the presentation. So what happens is the vein dries up. And after that, then there was a resurgence through the people in that kind of music. And then all of a sudden, you know, and then Krishna consciousness was presented for the, you know, the hardcore, or, you know. And then if you don't change, and so you have to change the language, the presentation, and that takes realization. And then now the yoga thing, but don't think it'll last forever either. And professional people and a different presentation. But the point is it takes realization. And what realization means is a depth of understanding that allows you to keep the message intact even though you have to change the language. Because you don't have realization, you change the language and the presentation, and then the message becomes compromised, the tradition becomes lost. So that always has to be done. It has to be done on a collective platform and has to be done on an individual platform. So Vyas is at the beginning of the Kali Yuga, the present age. He's looking at the people, and he sees that the people have become much less qualified in so many ways, in discipline, in intellect, in culture. And he has to look at this vast body of knowledge called the Vedas, and he has to repackage it so that people can understand it. And his initial attempts fail. You know, he did the Mahabharata, Mahabharata story form, Vedanta Sutra codified. And he was trying in so many ways to really get it. And he had to go really, really deep. And then he wrote the Bhagavad. But the point is, Vyas represents the original guru who assimilates the knowledge and then communicates it. And then the disciplic succession are teachers who do that and therefore can keep the tradition alive. And it takes realization. So, Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, there are certain people that can do it in terms of individuals and certain people who do it for an epoch of history. They kind of, and I always describe it like this. I came up with this analogy, and if you repeat it without my name, I'll sue you. Where's Jan? Plagiarism. But the analogy is you have an object and you have your eyes, and then there's something in between that helps you to see it clearly. And it's a prescription. Different people may have different glasses. But the idea, my understanding is Prabhupada was the prescription for the age. He somehow or other had a depth of realization that he can communicate Krishna consciousness so effectively. And therefore, teachers after him, they kind of represent him, and he represents the disciplic succession to actually communicate that truth so that people can get the bhakti latta bij, the seed of devotional service. This is one of my favorite verses. Brahmanda Brahmate Konya Bhagavan Jeev Guru Krishna Pasadi Pai Bhakti Latta Bij. Savita, will you say that in Bengali? Please.
Brahmanda Bhumite Kuno Bhagavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasadi Pai Bhakti Latta Bij.
That's the real way to say it. It's so sweet. So sweet. So it means that we're wandering from universe to universe, from species of life to species of life, until by the mercy of Guru and Krishna, you get the bhakti latta bij. You get the seed of devotion. And this is something I thought about very, very deeply when for a presentation I was making called Can God Be Blue? A Study of Krishna. And the first part of the presentation was arguments for God's existence. And I studied the top Christian apologist in the world. Apologist is not someone that says he's sorry. Eka Chakra, what is an apologist? What does it mean?
Someone who argues on behalf of a certain belief.
So Christian, they argue on behalf of God. And I was studying it, and I came to a very, very interesting realization of what is faith. And the understanding I got is that it's actually another sense that we have, but it's a subtle sense. In the sense that through our tongue we taste, through our ears we hear something, through our nose we can smell something. So faith is a sense in the mind by which we can experience God. And the sense of faith has to be kept open. And it has to be kept open by a reasonable presentation of the tenets of a particular teaching. And that presentation is how people speak, how people act. So
It's such a dynamic moment. It's such a dynamic moment. And you can look that you're wandering in the universe, species of life to species of life. And what I understood too is that we all have these individual experiences. Some are heavy, some are light, some are happy. And they've been going on and on and on and on and on and on. And they continue to go on and on and on. And those experiences, somehow or other, kind of make the sense of faith open. And then you have an experience. You have an experience of sublimity in relationship to God. And then, by the reasonable teachings, the sense can become exercised and open, so you can keep revitalizing that experience. That's how people come to spiritual life. And that experience and those teachings, they come from people who have those experiences and understand the philosophy and teachings of Krishna consciousness so that they can bring it into the world. And that experience that one has, it's supra, not super, because the next word is sensuous. It's supra-sensuous. And I really had to twist my Brooklyn accent to pronounce that properly. It's supra sensuous, supra egotistic. Those are the two pleasures. Sensual stimulation, I'm better than others. It's beyond that. And when that experience comes and enters into our heart, it's a very, very powerful thing. And it stays with one. It's amazing. Even I give my own example. And I remember, you know, the management responsibilities I had in the early days of Krishna consciousness. And not only the management responsibilities, but the lack of facilities that we had. And I remember one day I was kind of brushing my teeth. Here I was, like in my 40s. In a communal bathroom, you know, like five or six sinks and open shower stalls, and, you know, and it's freezing and there's no heat. And I'm brushing my teeth, and then I'm looking over, and who's next to me but my friend Bori John, Warren Weinstein. And I'm brushing my teeth, and he's brushing his teeth. And I look at him, I said, and in my mind I'm saying, if I wasn't in this, I'd be a rich Jewish lawyer. And he would have been a professor. Right? So why am I doing this? Why am I doing this? Because of that faith. That faith that came into the heart through the disciplic succession. And what is that faith? As Prabhupada said, it's unflinching trust in something sublime. You get some drop, even, and you're willing to pursue that and know that that's the goal. In Krishna consciousness, we don't practice vairagya, militant renunciation. But we have a goal. And for that goal, you'll make sacrifice. Because when you know that the goal is so rich, when you know that a drop is so valuable, what to speak of an ocean of that? So this is faith, and it's a trust. And the most important thing in the world is to have faith in the right objective. Because imagine if you have faith in the wrong objective, right? Then you waste your life. I thought of a realization today. I'm going to share it to you. Because we all go through such difficulties. And the reason we go through difficulties is because we're not the controller of the world, so it's not going to go according to the way we want. So but why doesn't God allow the world to move the way we want? Gail's husband is here. Welcome. So I have to tell a Rodney Dangerfield joke. That's our relationship. We share that. Okay? But it's relevant to the talk now. He said, because he was a guy, if you know, right, it was always like suffering. But we're all like that. That's why we laugh at it. Yadanath told me, what is comedy? Tragedy plus time. We're all like that. So here's the one. He said, when I was born, I was so ugly, the doctor slapped my mother. Whoops. In my ecstasy. So, it's no joke. You know, the world is just moving in all kinds of, and I've thought about this, you know, give me a break. So I thought, what happened if God actually moved the world exactly according to your desires and you'd never die? Now that would be depressing. Because what would your consciousness be? The happiness is not your world or things, it's your consciousness. So I actually thought of that. If God was actually God the way we wanted to, and actually moved everything the way we wanted to, then we'd have no hope, because we still would not have attained love in our heart, which is not how the world moves around us. It's how we react to things and how we change our own consciousness. So God's standard of happiness is actually different than ours. He knows what it really is. So therefore, to give us the real happiness, He doesn't fulfill our desires the way we want. Because we may get used to a situation that actually will not fulfill the heart and not satisfy us. So what the guru line of lineage is to give you that seed and then give you the knowledge and understanding how you can keep that sense of faith open for that experience, and to continue to nourish that experience, and to actually change our hearts, and to actually give us the real thing. And that's what and therefore on this day, because it's a lineage, just like who knows the first verse of the Yoga Sutras? Okay, Julie?
Atta Yoga Nusasanam.
Very good, Julie. Atta Yoga Ushasanam, right? Now I'm going to tell you the teachings of yoga, right? I'm not making it up myself. I'm not speculating. I'm telling the teachings of yoga. And it's called Guru Parampara. And the example would be, if you wanted to see, you can't learn from a blind man. It's not anda. In Sanskrit, the word for blind is anda. It's not anda parampara. So it's people who practice and people who see and people who realize it. And then it's God's mercy. It communicates those truths and inspires you with the right goal, so that you can make the right sacrifice and to actually ultimately achieve happiness. The real happiness, the happiness is that's eternal. Therefore, when I always begin my classes, when I teach outside, I give one or two questions generally. I'm not going to do it now, but the questions are, and for true success, you have to answer yes to all three questions. Have you found what you're looking for? Is it eternal? Because if it's not eternal, you're looking for the wrong thing. Because it'll be filled with duality. Is it eternal? And are you always with it? That's the thing that we have to look for. And that has to do with our soul. That has to do with the nature of our real self and awakening it. And that's the goal. So what Vyas Puja is, it's not just people worshiping a teacher, but that's why we start with the Guru Puja. It's the teacher worshiping the lineage and showing the students and friends how to worship the lineage, to become connected. Megan, the definition for bhakti in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu.
Bhakti Rasamrita is loving relationship.
No, the definition of pure devotional service, uttama bhakti.
It's unmotivated and uninterrupted.
What?
Unmotivated.
No, no, in Sanskrit.
Anya.
Oh. Come on. Anyabhilashita. Loudly. Say it. You don't know it?
Anyabhilashita shunyam.
Anukulyena Krishnanu Shilana Bhakti. This is your lucky day. Now you'll be more qualified for bhakti. That wasn't one of the verses yet? Oh, okay. She knows so many other verses. Anyabhilashita shunyam jnana karma jnanavritam. Anukulyena krishnanu shilanam. Bhakti means what? Krishnanu shilanam. That anukulyena, you intend that your activities and your life, anu, follow Krishna. And this is love. Love means, just think of any group, what's love? Even in this group, what's love? It's common interest. It's not singularly your individual interest. It's common interest. That's always the highest thing. That's the principle of love. And it's just like I always give the example of the body. And it's happiness. There's a voice that represents the whole, and the parts follow the voice. And everything becomes nourished, and everything becomes benefited. And that's our happiness. Except there's a cosmic body, and we're part of the cosmic body. And the cosmic body has a voice. And if you want to be happy, you have to follow that voice. And that creates a certain harmony. And we all know it. You know, that the world has a message that's beyond our individual interest. And when we link with that message, and in modern terms, and we let go and we follow it, even though it's difficult, then there's harmony. So we have to find that voice. And we have to follow that voice. So God has a voice. And we have to link up that voice. And that voice is for us. That voice is to tell us how to act, what to do. And the following of that voice itself is a transcendence of ego. And how do we follow that voice? How do we follow that voice? The voice of God in this world is called the Vedas. He has so much knowledge. It says what things are. The first aphorism in the, once I forgot, what is it? The first aphorism in Chanakya Shlokas, or his decisions determine our fate. Every situation has decisions. And if we do the right one, then our future becomes... our decisions determine our fate, and dharma, which is the correct decision, creates auspiciousness. So what is dharma? What is the right decision? We all need to have this. We need to have access to this. And we need to act on a higher platform than our own individual interests. This doesn't mean neglecting our needs. It means our needs are covered and encouraged with the higher interest. So this is the following, that teaching, that line that actually has inspired us. And this is what the Vyas Puja is. And it's a wonderful thing because we all can get together with common interest of trying to link with the Guru Parampara. And when we do, there's an energy that comes down to us, and that's called bhakti or love. There's actually, it's like a connection. When you're connected, then some love flows to your heart. So what I'm going to do now is somehow very uncharacteristic of me. I'm going to stop before time, and I'm going to ask if there's any questions. How's that? Anyone have any questions besides Gail? And you've had your quota. Champak?
What's the most important quality of disciple?
The most important quality of a disciple? Well, there's three. Tadvidi pratipatena pariprasnena sevaya upadekshanti te gyanam. Gyaninas tattvadarshanam. It's to surrender. And surrender is not, you know, our words are pregnant with such a history that, you know, a word like surrender gives images of a bayonet in your back and your hands up on a long march. But surrender is sharanagati. You're taking shelter of truth. I'll guide my life by truth. Not just what I want, but what's actually true, which comes from Krishna in this cyclic succession. So we surrender, we inquire, because we want to have instructions clear, and we serve. Those are the important instructions. Anyway, today is the... I must be advancing. My classes are shorter. That's what I feel inspired for today. But today is the... my celebration today, it doesn't happen every year, but it happens to fall on the appearance day of Bhaktivinod Thakur, who is one of the great acharyas in our line. And Bhaktivinod Thakur was the father and guru of Prabhupada's guru. And he was a very, very extraordinary person, specifically to communicate Krishna consciousness in a time where it actually had become disrespected and lost. It's a whole history in Calcutta. It was the second seat of the British Empire. It was London was first, Calcutta was second. And people were very educated, very influenced by the British and Western ways. And traditional religion was actually very much scorned to such an extent that Bhaktivinoda Thakur couldn't find a copy of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the authorized biography of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It took him 8 years to find one copy in Bengal. So it was revitalized, and he was quite extraordinary. From his 13 children, Just shows you that bhakti is not renunciation, it's dedication. It's just, he was a district magistrate who was so good that when he retired to Godrum Dweep in Mayapur, the government made a train line so that he could work a few more years. And his life was so real. Everything down to his pet dog, Tiger, to his struggles in life. So what I'll do is, we have some time. I'm going to ask Lakshmi Nisringa. Maybe you come up here, or people will turn there. Can they hear you? If you could speak something about Bhaktivinod Thakur. And I'll just say something. That would be very, very auspicious, because on this day, we're honoring our disciplic succession, our whole lineage. So that would be really good. So, before Lakshmi,
yeah.
I'm just going to sing my favorite song of Bhaktivinod Thakur.
Absolutely.
You want to hear it?
Yes.
Nadia Godrume Nityananda Mahajan. Nadia Godrume Nityananda Mahajan. Pati Achinam Hatha Jivarakaran. Pati Hati Nam Hatha Jivarakaran. Shradavanjan. Hey, Shradavanjan. Hey, Shradavanjan. Hey, Shradavanjan. Hey, Prabhu Gai Bhai Magiye Diksha. Prabhu Nadia Godrume Nityananda Mahajan. Nadia Godrume Nityananda Mahajan. Pati Achinam Hatha Jivarakaran. Pati Achinam Hatha Jivarakaran. Now the last line, I'm not going to sing them all, is the best. Jiva Doi Krishna Nam Sarva Dharma Sar.
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 Nadia Godrume Nityananda Mahajan.
Nadia Godrume
Vidoy Krishna Nam Sarva Dharma Sar, the essence of all religion. Sarva Dharma Sar. Jivadoy is to show compassion to others by giving him the holy name of Krishna. So that's the teachings of our Sampradaya, that you want to be connected to God, you have to chant God's names, you have to chant God's names purely. And when you get some bandhagyan, the proper understanding of Krishna consciousness couched in your practices, then more and more the concentration and the revelation and the attitude to actually feel God's presence comes into your heart. And that's our basic teachings. So Lakshmi, if you can tell us something about Bhaktivinod Thakur, that would be great.
Namo Bhaktivinodaya. Sachidananda Murtaye, Gora Shakti Swarupaya, Rupa Nuga Varayate. I offer my obeisances to you, O Bhakti Vinod, the form of eternity, knowledge, and bliss, the incarnation of Gora's potency, and the best of the followers of Rupa Goswami. So, Ms. Holiness Dandar Maharaj asked me to speak 5 to 10 minutes on Bhakti Vinod Thakur. That'll give me enough time to name his children. 10 minutes, I don't think I can name his books, because Bhaktivinoda Thakur, among the many things that he did, he wrote over 100 books on Krishna Bhakti. We have to imagine the time that he appeared. It's very significant, because after the disappearance of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, And then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's immediate Michael, associates,
put this up there and put
like Swarup Damodar, Ramananda Rai,
we're going to get you the thing.
The six Goswamis, Narottam Das, Shamananda Prabhu, Srinivasacharya. After these great contemporaries of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, what do I do with that? Nothing fits in my ear. The smallest ears in the world. Okay. So after the departure of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates, then it is described that a dark cloud descended over Gaudiya Vaishnavism. And it's identified, the science of Krishna consciousness is exactly that, it is a science. So it is identified what this dark cloud, the components of the dark cloud, it's broken down into 13 upasampradayas. And these upasampradayas, I don't remember all the names. Do you know the names? Yeah. The Bauls, the Auls, the Kartibhajas, the Nariyas, the Jata Goswamis. There's 13 different upasampradayas. Upasampradaya means useless. Prabhupada once was walking, we were walking in Central Park with Srila Prabhupada, and as Prabhupada would often do, he would stop and he would make a point, a philosophical point. So he stopped by a branch of a tree that had fallen, and Prabhupada hit it with his cane, and he said, "This is asara." And everyone, we didn't know asara. Asara means useless. So he said, "It looks like it's still alive because the leaves are still here, but yet because it has disconnected itself from the tree, that eventually this branch will die, the leaves will die, every part of the branch will die." So what happened after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates departed, the dark cloud is described as upasampradayas appeared. And these basically were, like for instance, the Bauls. Let's take the Bauls. The Bauls are probably the most wonderful singers in Bengal. Purnadas Baul, I had the opportunity to play Mridanga and Kartal for him. He would hit a note and it would break a crystal chandelier. His voice was so elegant, so exquisite. But the Bauls are known as the hippies of Gaudiya Vaishnavism. They smoked ganja, they had many different women, associates, etc. So there were no rules, there were no regulations. They liked to perform the Raslila dance, with them being the center of the Raslila. And so this is the nature, Jata Goswamis, you know, family, caste Goswamis. This was the nature. It was either speculation. It was all speculation, actually. It was all not based on the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because when you systematically go over the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as given to us in Chaitanya Bhagavat and Chaitanya Charitamrita, you see that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very specific. Although he exhibited, because Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Radhe Krishna, Nahi Anya. Although he is Krishna who has come in the mood of Srimati Radharani to exhibit pure love of God. What pure love of God actually looked like. He exhibited that in his form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Krishna did that. Krishna gave us the teachings in Bhagavad Gita, but he didn't show us. He instructed, but he didn't show us. So he decided, I have to come and show everybody. So he came in the form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he gave us all of the intimate details about Krishna Prema, the pure love of Krishna, Radha and Krishna. And gave us that very straight and narrow path. But what happens when you go off the straight and narrow path, then your destination is dubious. Isn't it a fact? If you're on a path, I remember I was in the Himalayas once, and my destination was dubious because someone told me that the Arjuna Gufa was at the top of the mountain, the cave of Arjuna was at the top of the mountain. And so the destination... Coco, can you take it? Because there was no guide. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left the instructions so that we would have a definite guide, a definite path to proceed along. And that was followed by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's associates. So this dark cloud, where it looked, they kind of mirrored Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement. They had kirtan, there was kirtan, but they started to come up with their own mantras. And that's a warning to all of us who lead kirtan. Be careful of the mantras and the melodies that you sing. Prabhupada was very, very specific. If you're interested in knowing what kirtan in our Gaudiya Vaishnava tradition is, and you'd be, it would be good for you to study what the directions that Prabhupada gave us and what we can sing, what we can't sing. And you would be shocked. But that is the nature of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement. So when those things, when speculation and whimsy started to enter into the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they, in the beginning, they kind of mirrored Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement and his teachings. But in actuality, they were whimsical. In actuality, they did not carry the potency. And so people went off in all kinds of different directions. And everything became like, it's like what the Dalai Lama said to the hot dog vendor, make me one with everything. So this is the delayed reaction. Okay, I'll accept it. It just went off and everything became Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the most merciful incarnation. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in order to rectify things, as things were getting darker and darker and more deviant, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sent his personal association in the form of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur came to deal with this specific issue. There's so many things that he did. And so he was possessed of superhuman prowess in terms of what he did. He wrote over 100 books on Krishna Bhakti. And if you want to get a little taste of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, you read Chaitanya Shikshamrita. And these are the instructions of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as gleaned by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Everything that Bhaktivinoda Thakur says in that book, he quotes a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam. It's a reference from a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu specifically sent Bhaktivinoda Thakur with the language, with the intelligence, with the stature. As Maharaj said, he was a magistrate. He was a grihasta. He had 13 children. He was super intelligent. From any perspective, either mundane or spiritual, Bhaktivinoda Thakur was an extraordinary personality. He was beyond a mystic. He defeated mystics who had evil intentions. He did so many different things. So specifically, he came to diffuse the dark cloud of ignorance that had become attached to Gaudiya Vaishnavism. The high-class people of Bengal at the time, in Calcutta and the surrounding areas, didn't even take Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission very seriously because they associated it with those 13 sampradayas, upper sampradayas. And they thought that, you know, that if you became like a ganja-smoking hippie and having all kinds of relationships and all these different things that they were doing, then that was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We don't want anything to do with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And as Maharaj said, it took Bhaktivinoda Thakur literally years to find one valid Chaitanya Charitamrita. That's the nature of the environment that he appeared. So he had to deal with a Brahmin caste who were totally exclusive. Unless you were born in the family of a Brahmin, unless you were born in a certain caste, then you could not become a Brahmin. So he had to defeat all of these different things. And defeat he did by taking the instructions of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, putting them not only in the language of that day, but if you read Bhaktivinoda Thakur today, you see how applicable his teachings are. And if you see what a parallel it is between Prabhupada and his mission and Bhaktivinoda Thakur and his mission. Although Bhaktivinoda Thakur is responsible for creating the blueprint of fulfilling Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's desire. What was that order? That in every town and village, my name or Krishna's name will be sung in every town and village. Now in India, they thought that meant India. Every time, okay, that's feasible because if you go to India, you know, you see everybody's receptive to chanting Hare Krishna. But it was only Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, the son of Bhakti Vinod Thakur, and his foremost disciple, Srila Prabhupada, who understood that that instruction did not mean every town and village in India. It meant every town and village. And if you were to put that into context in Bhaktivinoda Thakur's time, or even Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's time, that's the 1800s and early 1900s, if you were to put it into context, no one, everyone would think you were crazy. That you go to Spotswood, New Jersey, and there would be the chanting of the holy names. Or you would go to the beach of Asbury Park, and there would be the chanting of the holy names. Or you would go to the streets of Newark, New Jersey, God forbid, a place where I was born, and you would hear Harinam, the chanting of the holy names. So if you put it into context, what Bhaktivinoda Thakur did, he laid the blueprint. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur took that blueprint and he formed the working model in the form of the Gaudiya Math. 64 maths throughout India, profusely chanting the holy name and teaching the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then Srila Prabhupada took that working model of the Gaudiya Math, took it west to the places that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur wanted, London, New York, Los Angeles, Rome, Moscow, Beijing, Bogota, Caracas, Mexico City. The list goes on and on and on. Even Gurabo, Puerto Rico. Everywhere. That's what it meant. Everywhere. I'll tell you a little story. One of Prabhupada's disciples told me this story. He was preaching in South America, and he thought, he was thinking of this, I forget his name right now, but he was in the Brooklyn Temple. And he thought, in the mountain, he was preaching in South America, and he thought, in the mountains, high in the mountains, I'm going to go and find villages there, because I know they will never ever get a chance to hear the Hare Krishna mantra. So he set out on this track, and he came into this village, and it was so removed that the natives of the village, where they were naked, and you know they were living very much as if they were living 1,000 years ago. So he thought, here it is. Yeah. Every town and village, this village, I'm sure, no one has ever heard the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. So he's walking in the village. Of course, he got a lot of stares because he was dressed, number one. And number two, he was white. And number three, he had a shaved head and sika. But as he was walking through the village, guess what he heard? He heard, ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch. And he thought, what is that? Do these natives have an instrument that sound like kartals? And he followed the sound into a hut, and there was a group of young men and women, and they were chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra. So he was beaten there. Beaten to the punch by the mercy of Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Srila Prabhupada. And how that young man, it was the son of the chief of the tribe who was sent to Peru to a university, and there he met a devotee, and the devotee taught him how to chant the Mahamantra, and he took that Mahamantra back to his village. So that is the significance. Bhaktivinoda Thakur gave us that blueprint. He gave us 100 books which describe in very minute detail the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in a language that was accessible to us, to the here and now. He gave back credibility to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission. As a result of the efforts of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, what we see in India and throughout the world is the credibility of Gaudiya Vaishnavism has now been reestablished firmly. People are recognizing anyone who gets close to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission and the kirtan, they are awarded, if they have an open and sincere heart, they are awarded with the blessing of the taste that is there, that is in within the chanting of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. So this is just a little touch, a little glimmer, a little glimpse into the significance of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. You can read in many different places his life and teachings and be totally awestruck by this great personality. Once I was sitting with a venerable sadhu in India, and I was reading Manashiksha as commented by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and I said to him, you know, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says in his tika that, and he was describing about pride, and he was giving six aspects of pride, and I was wondering, I never heard this in any of the Shastic readings, so should I take this as truth? And he said, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, the writings of Bhaktivinoda Thakur is Shastra. As you accept Srimad Bhagavatam, as you accept Bhagavad Gita, you accept the writings of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So he's not an ordinary personality. He is our founder in the sense of this modern day mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the chanting of the holy names spread all throughout the world. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.